now for something completely different.
Welcome to Shout Out. Out of the closet and into your ears.
Hello and welcome to a very special shout out live from Oldcastle Green.
Oh, darlings, come and see us live. We're here at OCG celebrating their fourth birthday.
I'm Andy Shilton and with me is the lovely Es Peregrine.
That's correct. And with us is the whole shout out team.
Live from the OCG for a 2-hour special. Stay with us. Hello, how are we all?
All right, thank you.
I'm all right, we're in a pub.
It's really weird, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, you know, normally, what more can you want on a Thursday night?
Normally we're outdoors, it's because it's Pride or
we're
something.
We're not just out, Andy, we're out.
We're out.
Out of the closet, into your ears, come down to old Castle Green, get a beer.
He's the person that he's so gay, he had to come out three times.
Oh, yes,
I
think the only person who's out more than me is probably Mike himself, which should be talking to him a bit later on. So, but a very happy birthday to Old Castle Green for Saturday, 4 years. Mike will be telling us how it all went and how COVID nearly stopped it and all sorts later on.
Yeah.
Yeah, of course.
Getting all the goss.
So,
those
are
the days.
And it's an exclusive 2 hours as well. Now, we all should point out BCFM is the only one taking the second hour. Or you can listen on our website, shoutoutradio.lgbt as well. First hour as normal will go out on all of our stations across country and
beyond.
Yes. And beyond, yeah.
And beyond, yeah.
We're everywhere.
So Steph's busy doing the tech at the moment. She's the one that knows, like, all the call signs and all the times. And
who's going to keep
all
us
the stations.
She's absolutely brilliant at that. I'm getting too old to keep track, which is ironic because she's older than me. But
she
you know what?
Only by a couple of years, eh, Andy?
So, and Arby's here.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm very well, thank you.
Lovely to have you along. And Lisa's here as well.
Hi. I'm so happy the sun's out.
Oh, it's lovely, isn't it? I've got my jumper behind me, just in case.
It's pretty warm.
You never quite know, but I mean, you've got your jumper on, actually, haven't you?
I've got my jumper on because I didn't have the proper t-shirt on. And I thought, you know.
Keep to the branding.
That's right. Yeah.
So we have got the biggest shout out sign behind us at the moment.
It's very subtle.
Yeah.
Like me.
Yeah.
Can't
yeah.
read it.
But yeah, so. Anybody that's listening, if you're in Bristol or near Bristol, come on down.
Indeed. Yes. We're outside. If you know the OCG, we are out under the shelter bit in the garden. And it wouldn't really be good to be doing it. I mean, it's probably not going to rain, but you never quite know that when you're planning these things.
You don't.
So we're under the shelter bit just as you walk out the doors. And if you walk past, give us a wave. Hello, everyone. Hello.
Hello.
So I should have put the mic up so they could have actually said hello through the mic. Lost coming.
Yes.
We got a more normal show for the first half. Got the usual things like Terry's here with the news, as always. Is he doing it with you or
he
Steph
is.
Doing it? You two are doing the first one.
Yeah.
We got a few other things in there as well. I think we've got some book reviews and Steph's been speaking about Frank's Closet as well, which we'll come to.
And some good music, of
in
course.
A minute. Yeah, lots of music.
Bit of Jane McDonald.
There's some Jane McDonald. There's some Kylie Minogue.
Yeah.
There's some Van Halen.
Nice. Yeah. I mean, very different. Andy.
Yeah. Yeah.
My dad's a big Jane McDonald fan.
It depends, because you could say that they're all just camp, and then they're kind of like all together, really, aren't they?
Completely
you
agree.
Know? I mean, it's a party. It's... You know,
it is. It's a celebration.
It's supposed to be a celebration.
Well, it is a celebration.
It is very much.
Are you feeling like celebrating?
I was very nervous going live, if I'm honest,
You've
actually.
Been nervous the whole day.
I have been nervous.
Yeah,
I
my leg was
you
going.
In the
yeah,
van,
when
didn't
we get here, even come here.
Yeah, I don't know why. I think it's just because, you know, we don't do it very often.
You blame the coffee.
Yeah.
I haven't had any coffee, so I just blame the neurodivergence and the anxiety. You know.
I had to have a half.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure I saw Lisa with a cocktail or two earlier.
A half.
Well.
No, she's had seven halves.
One and a half.
Three and a half pints. Yeah.
They're doing their stock it's a stock market thing with cocktails. Stocktails, there you go.
That
was perfect timing. Just I just walked out the door. To
Wonderful.
He did his help with that time. Go through till 10 with Stocktails. 8 till 10, there you go. So head down
they
for that.
They all look amazing. I've been watching people come out with them like, oh, I wonder what that is.
It starts
Around £3 a cocktail.
£3 a cocktail,
a
yeah.
Yeah, that is a bargain.
I'm sorry, shout out people, you're not allowed to drink on air, so. You know.
Okay. Well, I'll go off air, I'll be back in after. 5. What's
that
everyone
for
having?
An interesting show, isn't it?
Wouldn't it?
Yeah,
to see how we sort of. That reminds me of the podcast Drunk Women Doing Crime, whereas the podcast goes on, they drink
is it
more.
Really?
Yeah. They try to solve a crime with the gin that they're provided with or whatever it is that they're given through their sponsors, and then by the end of it, nobody really knows what's happened or who's talking.
That's interesting, because you're not legally allowed to do that on FM
radio.
Not on
live air. No.
You get away with a lot more on podcasts. Like, you can swear on a podcast, and you can't do that on air. Please do not swear. Sound like Davina when I say that, don't I? You know?
Yes.
So except we're not live on Channel 4.
Hi, it? I'm Davina, and this is Big Brother Live. Please do not swear. I miss that show.
I do.
I didn't ever watch the reboot, did you?
No. It kind of lost its appeal to me.
Yeah.
So, what's your latest?
My latest TV show.
Yeah.
I've just completed all the new Walking Dead.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm not doing any CSI type stuff at the moment.
Is anyone here doing Lost again now? It's on Netflix again. Do you remember
I am
Lost?
Not. I remember the end.
I've already rewatched it with my girls.
Oh, you have?
Yeah.
It's an amazing series.
It is. Like, the ending, but the journey's good. Journey's good.
Yeah.
I agree. Yeah, that. And how about you?
Well, I mean, Lost is one that I'm kind of dabbling with at the moment, shall we say. So I've kind of watched a few of the oldies as well. I started The Thin Blue Line again last night.
Brilliant.
Do you remember that?
Yeah. Oh, that's reminded me. Good Girl's Guide to Murder. Very, very good. About a British teenager who wants to solve a crime in a small village.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, how would you like to fight this? Because I'm really funny when I say this.
Oh, go on then.
Bump. Really, really good. It's on BBC iPlayer.
Australian?
Yes.
Love
Australian.
It.
Australian. So good. Yeah, really LGBTQ+.
Oh, my gosh.
Really good.
So good. I recommended that to everyone, and my claim to fame is that I put it on my Instagram and they all re-instered it on their stories.
Yeah, it's so open. It's
really
great.
We're a bit more big on Insta at the moment, aren't we? We're not really doing X, as it's now called, thanks to the...
That's a very good point, actually. So anybody who wants to follow us on Instagram, of course my phone froze right at that exact second.
Shoutout Radio? Something like that, isn't it?
It is. Shoutout_radio.
Shoutout_radio.
Yeah. Cool. So give us a phone.
Well, I've got to be careful how I say this, because I know that there's been a lot of innuendo flying around today while we've been setting up, but shall we find out about Frank's Closet?
Go on, then.
Yes, please.
This is Steph finding out a bit more for you.
And now for something completely different.
After the roaring success of its recent Union Theatre run, the iconic love letter to musical theatre, Frank's Closet is set to return to its roots this summer at Wilson's Musical Hall, giving a multi-role drag diva masterclass. It's Luke Ferrugia. And I hope I've pronounced that right, have I, Luke?
That's right, Luke Ferrugia.
Now, you bring in divas who inspired and guided you, including Julie Andrews, Judy Garland, Agnetha from ABBA. Two hilarious, uncanny, and often touching life. So let's talk about that first then, Luke. You're live.
Yeah. Yes, hello. It's so lovely to be here. Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure.
You're very welcome. So going back, how did you get to where you are now?
Oof. So I was born originally in a tiny little island called Malta, which was in the middle of the Mediterranean. Not much stuff going on there in terms of like theatre or anything like that. There was a little theatre scene, but it wasn't like the sort of like professional standard of the West End. And when I was about 3 or 4 years old, my mum, you know, I was being a particular terror, and my mum needed to put me in front of the television for, an extended period of time. And she was looking for the biggest, longest VHS tape that we had so that she could have like the most time off. And it happened to be Meet Me in St. Louis, which was one of Judy Garland's sort of like earliest films, because it had a runtime of 2.5 hours or something like that. It was relatively okay for children at that time. And that's kind of like when I got hooked. My mum really brought me up on sort of like old movies. And then when I grew a bit older, I believe I was hit by a football at football training once, and I went home crying, and my mum was just like, do you want to stop going to football? Do you want to stop? Should we go to theatre camp instead on a Saturday? And I was like, yes.
Yeah.
So, you know, sports made me into what I am today, really.
I love that story.
Yeah.
So your mum had a hint then, I guess.
Yeah, I think so. I think, like, you know, having watched all these musical films when I was a kid, you know, Disney and all of the stuff, all of the old musical films as well. I kind of caught the bug. I moved to the UK in 2012 to go to drama school. And I've been knocking about this industry for about 9 years now, going from show to show.
So tell us more about that then. So you say you've been in it for quite a while now and going from show to show. Did you start as a performer or did you prefer directing and production and writing?
I trained as an actor at the Royal Central School of Speech and Drama, so it kind of went straight out of that. And I went into a bunch of touring shows. I toured sort of like Europe and the UK for a long time. I've done sort of like The Lion King in Disneyland Paris. I've done a bunch of pantos up and down the country, lots of work for Vienna's English Theatre in Austria, touring. And now suddenly Frank's Closet went to the Union in February of this year. And now it's coming back at Wilton's Music Hall. It's very exciting.
Oh, so tell us a little bit about the show then. Don't give too much away, obviously.
Of course. No. We want to keep everybody hanging. But it's a really lovely show. It's kind of like a queer love story, a queer coming of age story. It centres around the character of Frank, played by the wonderful Andy Moss, who is getting cold feet on the eve of his wedding. And so he goes into his closet, the metaphorical closet, in order to sort of like clear out everything that he's accumulated over the years in order to start his new life with his beloved. Or will he? And inside his closet, he happens to have a bunch of dresses that belonged to some of his favourite divas. And as he's coming to terms with clearing out each dress, it sort of awakens a memory in him, and the diva comes straight out of the closet with some always very well-intentioned, but not always, you know, very meaningful advice in order to kind of like help him let go of whatever it was. And you kind of follow his coming of age story as he was growing up, you know, as a gay teen and then being a little bit of an outsider when he grew up. It kind of culminates in, you know, will they or won't they get married ultimately?
Wow. How long is the performance?
It's about just under 2 hours, I think. There'll be an interval and that's about 20 minutes. So I think in total is 2 hours running time.
Okay. How many cast members have you got, or have you got a lot of quick changing?
I play 7 characters, some of whom you mentioned, and actually kind of 8 if you think about it. But we'll leave that as a little bit of suspense. But the cast members, we've got 4 gaiety girls who are sort of like the figments of Frank's imagination, and they're the angels and the devils on his shoulder. He's anything that he needs, they're always there to prepare for him. And the Gaiety Girls is like a little nod to old music hall. Stuart Wood, the writer, he's a very big fan of this. And he sort of like, it's very much seeped in that golden age of sort of like 1800s music hall. And it's a bit of a love letter to that. And the Gaiety Girls used to be these group of dancers that used to play at the Gaiety Theatre, which was on the Old Witch. I think it's gone now. And it used to be like, you know, the place for the dancing girls. And so Frank's brought them into his imagination in order for him to be able to put on this show that he does in his closet. And so we've got 4 gaiety girls, and then there's Andy and myself. So it's a total of 6 in the cast.
Okay. But you're playing, you said 7, possibly 8 characters. Do you have to do a lot of quick changes then?
Yes. It's a relentless track. I come on stage sort of like midway through the first act, and then from then on it's basically a marathon, because every single time I have to go out, change wig, change dress, into even more ridiculous and elaborate costumes. I believe there's some swans and doves on some of them, hats with you know, an inordinate amount of feathers. It's very camp.
Mm. Now, you're running backstage, and my mind, I'm taking on imagination here rather than fact. Mm-hmm. How many people are waiting for you to do that wig and the change of clothing?
So there's definitely, we've got two dresses and a wiggy. So there's definitely three people there waiting for me with everything like set and ready. It's a team effort, isn't it, to build all that kind of like magic. And there's always someone with a sweat block ready to wipe my sweat off because it's quite relentless.
Sounds just like a Formula One pit stop.
Exactly. This is the sports of the gay world, you know? This is what we do. It should be an Olympic sprint, you know? How many costume changes? How many wig changes? How many reveals can we have?
Right, so where are you performing? Where's the website that people can get tickets, and how can they follow you on social media?
Absolutely. So it's going to be playing at Wilton's Music Hall, which is an iconic venue. Absolutely gorgeous, gorgeous place. It's one of the last remaining music halls in London. I do believe it's around the Rotherhithe, Wapping area. It's just about a 10-minute walk from Liverpool Street Station. The website is wiltons.org, I believe, or you can just Google Wilton's Music Hall, Frank's Closet, and it will definitely be the first thing that you come up on. We're on from the 3rd till the 14th of September, a two-week run. At Wilton's, and please do follow us. We've got our own Frank's Closet Instagram and Facebook page and Twitter page, which is at Frank's Closet Show. You can follow me. I'm Unitidis on Instagram. There's obviously the Andy Moss, if you remember Hollyoaks from a couple of years back. That's the Andy Moss on Twitter and on Instagram. So we're looking forward to welcoming as many people as we can.
I'm going to sort of surprise you with this question. You can refuse to answer.
Oh no, never. Let's go.
What's coming up next? Are you already planning the production for 2025?
Well, Frank's Closet has kind of like landed very much in the public's zeitgeist. Everybody is enjoying it quite a lot. The union run was a real blast. We had some excellent reviews. So there is potential for a future. Nothing set in stone as of yet. As we know, things change all the time. But I would just say, watch this space. I mean, I think there could be some really big things coming.
Ooh, exciting.
Yeah, I shall station them. You have to come and see the show because the show is absolutely gorgeous. And you'll see why it deserves to have further life, because there's feathers, boas, you know, divas. I mean, who else? Who doesn't want to see Julie Andrews stuff on stage?
What more could you want?
Yeah, you know, Dusty Springfield's in this version as well. So, you know, we've got a diva that will say anyone's appetite, whichever kind of style or genre of music that you like. You've got Andy Moss delivering some really heartfelt, wonderful monologues that can resonate with anyone, you know, of any walk of life. But, you know, as a queer coming of age story, and it's so difficult nowadays to find a queer love story that has a happy ending.
Yeah.
You know, that it's just queer joy. That's the most important thing. And I think it's one of the only productions that has so much joy in it.
Luke, thank you so much for joining us on Shout Out. And, well, I can only end with the statement, break a leg.
Thank you so much. It's been an absolute pleasure. Please do come watch.
Certainly will. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Shout Out.
LGBT radio for you.
The Shout Out podcast.
Lovely. Wow. This is the old
Andy, Trey you McDonald are my world.
Well,
you're Lara, you're my world.
Ooh, hello, Lara.
We're just going in a little I said it in my M&S voice.
Ooh, hello.
You're not just my world, you're my whole world.
Oh, your whole world.
So, okay, deal.
Now, just so we're camping the music up a little bit, because it is Mike Coe's party. This is very camp.
This is campy camp. This is campy
camp. This is Jay
McDonald. This is not just camp. This is
Ryan. Oh, Jay McDonald is camp, okay. I think. I think so.
She's a gay icon, right?
Oh, yeah, she is.
I think so. I'd say that.
Was a gay
icon. I don't know. I'd say is.
Was a gay icon, always a gay icon.
I'm sometimes worried about my opinions on artists.
awesome when I say that. Like, I love Jamie Donald. Please come on to shout out if you love
Jane
her.
Jane is quite happy to be a kind of gay icon.
Yeah.
I had to explain to some people at work, actually, some time ago, what a gay icon was. Because they were saying, oh, David Beckham's a gay icon. I said, he's a gay pinup.
Yeah.
To be bona fide,
Victoria Beckham is on the verse.
Yeah. She's on the verse. You usually need to be a woman. Usually need to have had some sort of tragedy you've overcome in your life, that kind of thing. So Judy Garland is a gay icon.
Oh, Lady Gaga.
Lady Gaga. Yeah,
absolutely. Gaga.
Yeah. I've done a lot for the community is another way, isn't it?
I know, absolutely. But then you've got Ricky Martin, gay icon.
Well, he is
absolutely.
Gay.
He's gay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And gay
icon.
That was...
And a pin-up as well.
Oh,
he's so awesome.
I don't know if he's still here. I haven't seen him in years.
Oh, yes, he looks exactly the same.
No, he does not.
Aging with dignity.
Age drops. You drop. Things drop.
Things go south.
That's all I need to say.
If that happened to men, we'd be very happy.
I don't know.
I'm not sure about that statement.
No, I'm not. I don't know what's dropping with you guys. But
nobody wants to be... Anyway.
My voice.
I remembered I was on live radio.
Oh,
we were.
Let's stick.
My voice gets deeper. It's funny, actually. I was going through some archive clips and I heard Terry from 15 years ago.
His voice.
His voice. Well, he just sounds so much younger.
It sounded like Joanna Lumley in those days.
Oh, but you did, honey.
Oh, yeah.
Now, do you think you can give us some Joanna Lumley news?
Yeah,
I think we can.
Sweeney,
all
darling, Sweeney,
okay.
Give it to me.
Such fun.
This is Shoutout News. Welcome along.
Henry Gardiana, writing at LGBTQIA+ portalthem.com, reports that after 2 weeks of silence, the transgender fixated Joanne Rowling is at it again and appears to be goading Algerian boxer Aman Khalif, who has already proven that she was born a woman. This is despite the fact that Khalif's legal team have already named Rowling as a bully and a spreader of misinformation. So what is going on? Henry at them.com speculates that Rowling's lawyers are probably tearing their hair out at this development, but they might as well know now that they're powerless against the evil forces of big transphobic mould. Rowling's lawyers are probably tearing their hair out So, what's Rowling's problem now, you ask? The same as always. She's annoyed that Aman Khalif is, check note, wearing makeup. It's almost as if certain cis women, all of whom happen to be women of colour, just can't do anything to prove to gender expert J.K. Rowling that they are, in fact, women. Wearing makeup, not womanly. Being good at sports, also not womanly. What is womanly, according to J.K. Rowling? Apparently just being white. Rowling's lawyers are almost certainly losing their minds over this development. Rowling has already earned the ire of African-American spokespeople for her crass Stevie Wonder remarks earlier in the year, and now it seems that she is destined to out herself as a racist as she picks on a woman of colour. Henry closes off the article saying, can't wait for Khalif to wipe the floor with Rowling after she totally tanks her own case.
Okay, in science news, Dr. Neil Baer is the editor of a new book about the incredible promise and potential pitfalls of CRISPR gene editing technology. Dr. Baer talks to the science web portal Life Science and discusses some of the arguments being debated in his book, comprising researchers, bioethicists and philosophers. For example, the doctor questions whether society has the right to decide if people with Down syndrome should exist. He also explains, I did want to expand the viewpoints to positions that hadn't been written about yet, from people we hadn't heard from. For example, one of the very few trans bioethicists, Florence Ashley from Toronto, contributes about whether CRISPR could be in some way used to treat trans people or make them not trans. That's a complicated question because there's not really a gene that marks one out as trans, but there might be elements that are common amongst trans people. The new book, which is called The Promise and Peril of CRISPR, that's CRISPR, is available from John Hopkins University Press. Why not support community businesses by ordering your copy through LGBTQIA+ bookstores, radical or progressive bookstores in your area.
And Free Press Action, which campaigns for fairness and transparency in reporting, has published a litany of the nefarious actions taken by Elon Musk, the billionaire white supremacist transphobe who now uses the former Twitter platform as his personal plaything and mouthpiece. FPA says 5 secretaries of state are warning that the platform's AI chatbot produced and spread misinformation about ballot deadlines to millions of users for more than a week. Musk has well-documented history of promoting horrific and bigoted viewpoints. He's previously amplified claims that Europeans have superior biology. He's made jokes about political violence, and it sure seems like he just kicked accounts off his platform when they raised too much money for a candidate that he dislikes. That Twitter is so inundated with extremism and lies is a natural result of Musk's decision to lay off most of the company's trust and safety team, gut the platform's content moderation rules, and reinstate thousands of accounts belonging to white supremacists, neo-Nazis, misogynists, and other hateful people, with few left at the company to vet questionable content. Posts are often left unchecked to spread like wildfire.
Dr. Benjamin Jones, the Director of Case Operations and Outreach at the Free Speech Union and a member of the staff at the National Secular Society, has published an article sponsored jointly by the National Secular Society on the Council of Former Muslims of Britain. Dr. Jones explores the need to be careful in drafting laws which define Islamophobic hate speech. The reason for this, he says, is that for people living in strongly Muslim areas, it can already be very difficult to exercise their right to leave religion behind. For example, if they conclude that they cannot reconcile their faith and sexuality, or leave for any other reason. Dr. Jones writes for the Secular Society's weblog, and as part of his evidence, he notes the particular case of certain LGBTQIA plus feminists and secularist former Muslims who have elected to live without the religion in their lives. The full essay, with conclusions and recommendations, is available from the National Secular Society website.
The 21st Trans Wellness Conference takes place over the 5th to 7th of September at Temple University's Howard Gitt Student Centre in Philadelphia. There will be around 1,000 delegates, and there is still scope for registering as a virtual online participant to tune into the sessions and workshops. Lauren Rowello, writing at Philadelphia Gay News, takes up the story and notes attendees can expect, based on topics explored in the general track during previous years, that offerings will cover physical and mental health, gender-affirming surgeries, hormone replacement therapies, relationships, and more. This year's presentations for behavioural health providers will explore a variety of techniques for approaching mental health care, including body inclusive and anti-fat approaches to trans healthcare, decolonising queer experiences, geek therapy, counter-transference, the concept of healing justice, ketamine-assisted psychotherapy, and more. Additional topics for this cohort will explore letter writing, navigating challenging conversations in family therapy, and promoting acceptance of trans youth, supporting young adults, activism, and crisis response. Those participating in the legal track can learn about LGBTQIA plus civil rights laws and protections, disparities in child welfare, and advocacy for youth, LGBTQ plus youth, advocacy during insurance appeals, navigating government ID, parenting issues, as well as bans on trans-affirming and abortion care. For further information and to get involved in the conference, please visit www.mazenicentre.org/conference.
Gay television and radio presenter Nick Grimshaw has been celebrating his 40th birthday with family and friends in Ibiza, reports Community Radio for Berkshire. Unfortunately, the summer has seen a lot of break-ins and thefts from villas on the island, and several nights ago, the one stayed in by the Grimshaw party was subject to a break-in and thefts. The source told The Sun, who first reported the story, that there's been a spate of attacks in luxury villas across Ibiza in the summer. They said, sadly, Nick's villa was on the target list simply due to it being known for being used by high net worth clients. Many stars, LGBT plus people and allies sent their wishes to Mr. Grimshaw and his party and expressed their hope that the incident had not spoiled the holiday and birthday celebrations too much.
And finally, we know from surveys and studies that LGBTQI plus people are more likely to be involved in ecological work, supportive green charities and animal welfare concerns that sister society. So many will be interested in a huge coalition of NGOs, campaign groups and networks who are coming together in London to demand action to end pollution of rivers, lakes and seas. The March for Clean Water will encompass groups as diverse as the WI, Surface Against Sewage and the RSPB. Hitting the streets of London on Saturday 26th of October, the march is going to be an epic gathering of surface swimmers, paddlers, ramblers and water lovers of all stripes, say the organisers. To find out more or get involved, visit marchforcleanwater.org.
Well, September is on the way and things are as hot as ever in LGBTQIA plus news and culture. Be sure to check out Community Radio Services for the latest updates. For Shoutout News, this has been Terry Stutt
and Ezra Peregrine.
Shout out.
LGBT radio for you.
The Shout Out Podcast.
Oh, your disco.
Do you know what? Disco. I'm not going to lie, I'm okay to be gayified today. I have adorned my gayified hat. No. And I am okay.
You have a hat for it, do you?
Well, it's imaginary.
Oh, right. Oh, okay.
I can see it. It's
yeah, we
beautiful.
Can see it.
Thank you.
Yeah,
thank
you. You look fabulous.
And I am okay with Kylie. I will say that with my full chest.
Oh, yeah, we love Kylie. Well, and I think that's got some Petra Boys in there, too.
Yeah. I don't love her music, but I like her.
Oh, no, I don't
lot.
Love her music at all. Like, Padam Padam is the bane of my existence.
Oh, dear, that's in the second show.
we chose to do that to me, you, Andy. Why did you do that to
I got it was a request. I got asked to play.
For who? And let me add them. Like,
Steph. So.
Okay. Steph is technically one of my favourites, so I can't really say anything. But Steph, if it was anyone else, I'd come for you right now.
Now, in case you're wondering what the background noise is, and if I go like that, Ali, say hello to the microphone up there. Say hello. What's up there?
Oh, hello.
Ali's in the background, going to come on in the second half as well. We're live from the old Castle Green down here broadcasting to celebrate their birthday. I think that's that's one of the loudest newses we've ever done with all the background
Happy
noise,
birthday,
wasn't it?
It really was.
Do you like our backing track for that, do you?
A memoir by Elliot Page, who you may know from things like The Umbrella Academy and various films, etc.
I like The Umbrella Academy. Don't tell me how it finishes. I haven't finished it.
Terribly.
Yeah, I know.
Same here. So, full of intimate stories from chasing down secret love affairs to battling body image and struggling with familial strife, Page Boy is a love letter to the power of being seen. With his evocative and lyrical debut, Elliot Page captures the universal human experience of searching for ourselves and our place in this complicated world. The Oscar-nominated star who captivated the world with his performance in Juno finally shares his story in a groundbreaking and inspiring memoir about love, family, fame, and stepping into who we truly are with strength, joy, and connection.
I'm here for this one.
That's $10.99 in paperback, but I listened to the audiobook, so I cheated when I said I'd read it.
Was it good?
My favourite. Okay.
The audiobook is read by Elliot Page, and I'd really recommend
that. Was it good?
That's fantastic.
The book in general.
Really good.
Yeah. Not in paperback.
You can get it in paperback.
Yeah, it is in paperback.
Yeah, no, I was talking about the audio.
Oh, sorry, it's too literal. Yeah. Carry on.
Past your bedtime now.
No, Andy.
Okay, who's gone for?
Number four. Am I doing this one?
You're allowed to do this.
Or do you want to do it?
No, you should do it.
Okay. How to Be Ace, a memoir of growing up asexual by Rebecca Burgess. Growing up, Rebecca assumes sex is just a scary new thing they will grow into as they get older. Didn't we all think that? Then when we leave school, start working and do a grown-up job, they start to wonder why they don't have sex with other people. In this brave, hilarious and empowering graphic memoir, we follow Rebecca as they navigate a culture obsessed with sex, from being bullied at school to trying to fit in with friends to forcing themselves into relationships and experiencing anxiety and OCD before coming to understand and embrace their asexual identity. Giving unparalleled insight into asexuality and asexual relationships, How to Be Ace shows the importance of learning to be happy and proud of who you are. That's slightly more, £12.99 in paperback. And probably audiobook as well, to be fair.
Shall I do number three?
Yeah.
Why not? Number three now. We're down to number three.
The Knowing by Emma Hines. In the slums of the 19th century, New York, a tattooed mystic fights for her life. Her survival hangs on the turn of a tarot card. Powerful, intoxicating, and full of suspense. The Knowing is a darkly spellbinding novel about a girl fighting for her survival in the decaying criminal underworld. Whilst working as a living canvas for an obsessive tattoo artist, Flora meets Minnie, an enigmatic thank you, circus performer who offers her love and refuge in an opulent townhouse. Home to the menacing Mr. Chester Merton, Flora earns her keep reading tarot cards for a guest while struggling to harness her gift, the Knowing, and ability to summon the dead. Caught in a dark love triangle between Minnie and Chester before beginning to unravel the secrets inside their house. $16.99 in hardback.
I love gayness. Yeah, I love gayness and fantasy. That's like a really great mix.
Cool.
Like you know, a bit of like magic. Because I loved, you know, charm and all that. What was it Sabrina Teenage Witch? Yeah.
Yes.
Well, that's a great anime. I don't know what was in your day though. So.
Well, we had to be Sabrina as well. It was just the original one.
I see.
Yeah, not the kind of like more dark one that we've had recently.
The better one. Oh no. Okay. Sorry. What?
Oh, the youth of today.
At least I have youth.
Yeah, for now.
Yeah, that's true. Away, don't remind me. Okay,
right, it's where are we?
Number two. And I think this is a really important question to ask. Whatever happened to Queer Happiness by Kevin Brazil? It's a highly accessible, entertaining, and provocative work of the non-fiction Kevin Brazil, combining essay and memoir to ask one of the most pertinent questions of our current age. Whatever happened to Queer Happiness? Exploring the lives of artists and writers from the past, current discourse around queerness and his own experiences, Kevin argues that art and literature needs to move up beyond celebrating the pain of queerness and embracing all the positive, ecstatic, collective joy that queer culture produces. And I couldn't agree more. That's £9.99 in paperback, and that is coming in at number two, which leaves us
number one
for your autumn reads.
Okay, that's 100 Queer Poems, an anthology by Andrew McMillan and Mary Jean Mary Jean Chan and Andrew McMillan's luminous anthology, 100 Queer Poems, is a celebration of thrilling contemporary voices and visionary poets of the past, featuring Elizabeth Bishop, Langston Hughes, Ocean Vuong,
something like that,
Anne Duffy, Kay Tempest, and many more. Encompassing both the flowering of queer poetry over the past few decades and the poets who come before and broke new ground, 100 Queer Poems presents an electrifying range of writing from the 20th century to the present day. $10.99 paperback.
There you go.
I like to say that is like my biggest fear reading out. So, you know, thank you for doing that.
And you did very well.
You did it fantastic.
You sounded absolutely fabulous.
That's why I've been avoiding most of this list. I'm like, I don't do it. But yeah, that Queer Poems, I'd love to read that as well. Like, I love a good poetry book.
Do you agree? Yeah. Was that number one out of those for you as well?
No, Page Boy would probably be mine.
Yeah.
I think the way in which Elliot Page has come out and owned everything and, you know, in such a public way, I think is so beautiful. And then to write a book that's so exposing of that experience, I think is so necessary. And in such, like I said, the backdrop of, getting a bit animated, in the backdrop of, you know, the current world, I think we need more stories like this to prove how normal it is.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Absolutely. So, couldn't agree more.
The gesticulating got over me, but, you know, I'm passionate.
You've got Italian hands.
I do. Yeah.
I'm more with Harvey. I'm more an audiobook.
I love audiobooks.
Yeah, I do enjoy them. I struggle to get into it. My other half is a massive bookworm. We've got so many
books
at home.
You've got huge bookshelves, haven't you?
Yeah, tons of them. Yeah, he's moaning because he's still got tons of boxes.
What's really interesting about a lot of people, not sort of all neurodivergent people, is that listening to an audiobook is wonderful when they're doing something else. I cannot sit in bed and listen to an audiobook unless I'm like watching, like the telly's on mute and I'm playing my Switch or cleaning or whatever. Reading a book
during my PhD. Like I listened to like a brief history of human.
You did your PhD by audio?
Yeah. Basically, that's all I need to do. I wouldn't listen to my PhD. God forbid. Like I wouldn't wish that on anybody.
Let's have a listening party now.
Oh God, could you imagine? In my dulcet tones, like with levitated particles.
No, only if you read it like that. Levitated particles.
Levitated particles and lasers. It was cold.
Oh, the things you don't know about your fellow shout out.
You don't know about levitated particles.
Does anyone else have a favourite on that list?
What, levitated particle?
That one's mine.
That's me.
I want to read the Laura Lalemi PhD audiobook.
We need to get it published now.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, it's published right in telling you where.
You've got to voice it in that voice as well.
Oh, yeah, of course. Of course I will. I love you. I'll do. You go down at the weekend. Yeah, hopefully.
I love it, babes.
I love it. I honestly do. But no one really wants. No, honestly.
My answer is number 10.
In answer to your question,
thank you,
number 10.
Answered it.
Gwen and Art Are Not in Love by Lex Croucher.
Really? That's your favourite?
Yeah, because I love fantasy.
There are loads of LGBT plus bookstores around the country now, progressive bookstores. There's one over the road from here called East Bristol Books. So do check them out. They've got loads of LGBTQIA plus literature for sale, alternative literature, environment, ecology, all sorts of stuff. So check them out. Check them out wherever you are, because a small little bookshop needs your support to carry on.
And we can't let it die, people. Books are the life.
They are.
And now we are rapidly running running out of hour, but guess what? We're back for a second.
On
BCFM.
We're back for a second hour.
I know. Love the Allards going to be joining us. And Mike will be here. A bit of a party atmosphere for the second one. If you haven't heard it already, we are live from OCG, Oldcastle Green. We're out in the garden. Still kind of quite warm. Or is that just because I'm kind of like running on
adrenaline? You're next to me, Andy. I'm that hot.
Anyway, that is it for the first hour. But of course, it's a 2-hour special.
Oh no. Okay, so it's not over. On BCFM, we'll be back straight after the news.
They're still another hour, live from OCG for their fourth birthday. Join us after the news exclusively on BCFM. From myself and the rest of the Shout Out team, for about 10 minutes, say bye-bye, everyone.
Toodles. Bye-bye. Toodaloo. See you soon.
Shout out. LGBT radio for you.